I want to thank you, as everyone else did, for being here. I'm still on West Coast time, so I'm kind of amazed that I'm here. My name is Nick Bookman. I'm the evaluation coordinator for the project that I'll be presenting on today. The project is located at Oregon Health and Science University, which is in sunny and warm Portland, Oregon. If you're not familiar with Oregon, that's a joke. For today's talk, I'll be giving you a brief overview of the project. Also, I have no relationships to disclose. I'll give you a brief overview of the project, and then we'll look at how we're currently using our mobile technology and the technology that we're using and why we're using it. Following that, I'll discuss some of the lessons that we've learned so far with our technology, including some of the benefits and successes that we've had. Of course, no discussion of technology would be complete without some discussion of the failures, barriers, challenges, and utter frustrations that we've had. From there, I'll talk a little bit about future and potential uses of this technology in this and other projects, and then I'll wrap up with some final comments about the topic. Before we start, you may be wondering why an evaluation coordinator would be talking about mobile technology. As you'll soon discover, the primary purpose of our technology is for data collection, and as the evaluation coordinator and as the youngest person on our grant, it was a natural choice for me to take over the development of the technological solution to data collection. So let's begin with a brief project overview. So the project I'll be talking about today is the Interprofessional Care Access Network, or as we like to call it, ICANN. The project is funded by a three-year grant from the Health Resources and Services Administration, which was awarded to the OHSU School of Nursing. The project seeks to create a model for interprofessional education and collaborative practice while addressing the triple aim goals of increased satisfaction with healthcare, improved health outcomes, and reduced system costs. We're doing this by expanding existing academic practice partnerships in three neighborhoods where we have ongoing relationships with healthcare organizations and community service agencies. The project was funded in September 2012. And after a period of systems development, personnel training, and IRB red tape, we launched in April of 2013 in Old Town, Portland, the first of our three neighborhoods. In October of that year, we expanded to West Medford in Southern Oregon through one of our satellite campuses for the School of Nursing. And in October of this year, just last month, we expanded again to include Southeast Portland. Each of these neighborhoods represents a unique, diverse, and complex population. From the academic side, the project brings together students from the OHSU schools of dentistry, medicine, nursing, and the College of Pharmacy to form interprofessional teams of students. These teams are placed in the community setting at our partner agencies under the supervision of a faculty and residents to work with disadvantaged and underserved populations to address social determinants of health. Our populations include low-income individuals and families, homeless, elderly, veterans, mentally ill, seasonal and migrant farm workers, and immigrants and refugees. Our student teams work closely with our partner agencies, which identify individuals from their existing clients to connect with ICANN. The student teams work with those individuals, whom we also call clients, to identify health goals and to facilitate the achievement of those goals. Often, client health goals are precluded by social determinants of health, resulting from poor access, limited health literacy, and several other factors. Common activities for students to engage in include assisting clients with obtaining housing, insurance, or primary care providers, with myriad related activities such as obtaining identification, navigating complex application processes, and medication reconciliation. At this point, I'm going to throw out a shameless plug for two of my colleagues, Lana Ray Matthews and Heather Voss, who will be presenting two additional sessions later today, and I'll have the details of those presentations at the end. So if you'd like to learn more about the non-technological side of ICANN, you'll be able to find some more information. As I mentioned, our student teams work with individuals from disadvantaged and underserved populations. These are people who have typically fallen through the cracks of the system, such as those experiencing homelessness, mobility issues, and social isolation. In order to provide care coordination and transition management to these vulnerable populations, student teams meet clients where they are, whether that's at a home, in their agency, in a park, or under a bridge. This model gives the rise for a need for mobile yet secure technology for data collection and access. During the development of the project, several factors were assessed for selecting appropriate technology, including portability, security, cost, ease of use and ease of training, and connectivity. After extensive review, we chose to employ Apple iPads, enabled with cellular data connectivity. iPads are relatively light and compact. They have built-in cellular connectivity, they provide sufficient encryption, and they were comparatively cheap to other options at the time. Additionally, we estimated that Apple devices would be a familiar technology for students given the pervasiveness of its presence in the market and the uniformity of its operating system across devices. As I said, the first and primary use of iPads is data collection. In addition to providing a secure means of remote data collection, we also wanted a system that would be device independent so that students could access the same data from multiple devices and providing an external backup location in case of device failure. We achieved this through the use of Citrix, which is a system that was already in place by OHSU as the method for remotely connecting to OHSU's secure networked resources from outside the network. The system acts as a portal for viewing secure resources, and using the system, we were able to access a subdivision of OHSU's secure servers where we keep our data. This process allows students to use any of our devices to connect to the same data and keeps the data in a single secure location. The students access a controlled folder system that uses JavaScript-encoded Adobe PDF forms to record data. In addition to the data students collect on the clients they work with, students use the system to track administrative aspects of care coordination, such as the date and duration of time spent, whether it be time spent working directly with clients or time spent on behalf of clients, such as researching neighborhood resources or advocating on behalf of the clients. In this way, the system not only provides data necessary for students to perform care coordination, but it also provides the grant team with the data to evaluate the operational performance of the project. When we first began thinking about remote technology, we were focused on data collection. But after we settled on iPads, we began to think of the diverse applications of that technology. The second use for our mobile technology is remote language interpretation. This is something that we've expanded on greatly in just the past couple of months as we've begun to work more with immigrants and refugees, though we have been employing it for Spanish speakers since our expansion to West Medford. Using a system called Cisco Jabber, which is like secure Skype, we were able to bring language interpreters from across the country into the community setting with audio and video support. Where in-person interpretation requires advanced notice, transportation time and costs, and draws from locally available resources, remote language interpretation can be arranged with just a few minutes of notice, sometimes just seconds, requires no transportation, and draws from national language banks. One of the drawbacks of the nursing school satellite campus in West Medford is that the interprofessionalism of the student teams relies on rural rotation placements from the Portland campus for dental, medical, and pharmacy students. These rotations tend to be less frequent and smaller in number, so it didn't take long for us to realize the potential of a program like Cisco Jabber to be used for connecting students from distant locations. That being said, we weren't as quick to find volunteers. However, just this past term, we've been able to create our first telehealth team of students, or teleteam as we call it. Using Jabber, a pharmacy student from Portland has been able to participate on a team in West Medford. Medford students are able to meet with a client, pull out the iPad, and bring the pharmacy student right there into the client's home. So not only are students able to have interprofessional huddles around client care coordination, they can have direct interaction in real time in the field. This is something that we're all very excited about and hope to expand to include students from the medical and dental schools as well. Surprisingly, as one of the most technologically dependent aspects of our project, it has so far been relatively free of complications. Before I get into the challenges, I want to highlight some of the successes we've had, along with some of the benefits of employing this kind of mobile technology. I mentioned before that our system for collecting and accessing client data allows students to use any of our devices and retains a device-independent backup of our data. An added bonus of the system is the high level of security that it provides. For students to access the data, they need the device passcode to unlock the iPad, they need OHSU-assigned network login credentials, they need manager-approved remote access permission, and they need grant-controlled server access permission. Both the Citrix application and the iPad use a time lockout for inactivity, and because they're iPads, we can track their whereabouts at any time, and we can wipe their functionality remotely. Now, I've already described some of the benefits of remote language interpretation, including faster access and reduced cost and an extended range of language, but there are two related benefits to using a large, nationally based language bank. The first is that same extended range of availability. Not only does it provide access to a greater range of languages, but it provides access to a greater range of interpreters. So if we need a Burmese interpreter, we have the ability to choose between a young interpreter or an old interpreter, a male interpreter or a female interpreter, and the cultural implications of this are obvious. The second benefit is confidentiality. It is not uncommon for locally available in-person interpreters to be prominent members of their community, and depending on the language group, the community can be small, close-knit, or both. Where using nationally based interpreters reduces that. So, challenges. One of the earliest learning experiences we had shortly after we launched the project in Old Town Portland was the impact of physical structure. Most of the benefits of employing mobile technology in the field disappear in the absence of a lack of cellular data connection. As we soon discovered, most of the buildings in Old Town Portland where our clients live are old, and this means that they tend to have thick, dense walls. Walls thick enough, as it turns out, to block cellular signal, at least on the Verizon network. Thankfully, we were able to improve our connectivity by switching to AT&T iPads. And we sent our Verizon iPads to West Medford, where it wasn't so much of an issue. Now, no technology-based project would be complete without technical limitations. Our first encounter with technological limitations was with Citrix itself, which utilizes a uniform operating system environment for all users, one which doesn't include JavaScript. In order to use JavaScript in Citrix, we had to have the OHSU ITG group create a dedicated server just for us with a modified Citrix environment. Once we overcame that barrier, we ran into problems with freezing. As it turns out, the demand on the Citrix connection system that we were replacing through our access was outpacing the connection methodology. After further talks with our ITG group, we established an alternate connection methodology, again dedicated just to our project. This increased the speed and strength of our connection and greatly reduced freezing. Another challenge to our operational capacity is the organizational limitations of the Adobe file system. When I first designed the system, we were essentially converting paper forms into electronic format. But as time went on, we realized greater capacity. The forms were adapted to read from each other, calculate values, and perform high-level tasks. And as the capacity grew, so did the wish list. We now face a level of complexity that pushes the limits of a system composed of separate files. We've also had our share of interpersonal challenges. When I first developed the JavaScript encoded Adobe Forms, I expected that there would be technological problems. But as the sole developer of the system and the one deeply rooted in it, I didn't expect problems at the human level. What I learned is that there is a huge gap between developer and user. What made sense to me did not always make sense to the students using the system. And moreover, there was and is a large range of knowledge among the student users And over the course of the project, I have redesigned the elements of the file system multiple times to help bridge that gap. Additionally, because we use students to collect data, each term there are new users with new levels of familiarity with technology, and that requires constant retraining. To combat this, we have developed standardized training modules made available online so that students can begin the training process prior to participation in the project. This has greatly sped up the turnaround time and allows us to get students into the field in a timely manner. Talk a little bit about future potential use. So one that we're really excited about is EMR or EHR integration. There are, of course, numerous potential uses for this technology. One that we're actively pursuing is EHR, specifically Epic Care, which is what most of our partner agencies use. By merging our current PDF form structure into an EHR like this, we will be able to access detailed health records to support and reinforce the data collected by our students, and at the same time inform providers relying on the EHR about that data. We are hopeful that this integration will add a robustness to our methodology that currently lies beyond the capacity of our Adobe file system. As we have expanded the interprofessionalism of our teams, we have encountered, time and time again, the barrier of scheduling. And with that barrier has come the need for quick and easy communication methods. While our students are able to communicate through their OHSU email, which is highly secure, students have expressed the need for rapid push notification systems like texting. Although standard texting systems are not secure or HIPAA compliant, we are currently investigating options for secure texting. By adapting our technology to meet the needs of an ever-advancing workforce, we can be sure to remain at the forefront of care coordination. Although we have just begun to establish telehealth teams with students, we have hoped that someday we can expand these teams to include real-time telehealth care coordination by providers. This will allow us to expand the scope of our work while providing in-depth insight to the providers on the needs of their patients, something that has already been evidenced through student huddling with providers. And I'll just wrap up here. So while our current technology has provided many benefits and challenges, it is but one of a multitude of options. Possible means of overcoming our challenges may lie in EHR integration, or in a dedicated ICANN app, or it may lie with alternate hardware choices. Which brings me to my second point, which is that technology is always changing and always advancing. And with new technology comes not only new challenges, but new solutions. And while we will always be reliant on the human component, user familiarity with technology is also growing. In any environment in which you've incorporated technology, you will always be a step behind the latest advances. And as technological capacity expands outward and upward, it becomes increasingly difficult to track. One thing is for sure, the incorporation of technology into the healthcare sector is inevitable and cannot be ignored. Lastly, the future of healthcare is in patient-centered care, is in care that is team-based, and is with teams that are interprofessional in nature. And under those conditions, as care moves out of the clinic and into the community, the need for employing mobile technology will only increase. That's my speech. If you'd like to learn more, you can contact us at our website or at our email address, and here's the information for upcoming presentations later today. And I'd like to thank the other people on our team and HRSA for sponsoring us.